I'm going to do something tonight. We don't do this very often. Everybody just kind of look at me for a minute. If you don't want to read a passage of Scripture, just say pass, okay? But I'm going to ask some of you to read some verses of Scripture. So I'm going to start over here. Faith, I want you to read Genesis 32. Melissa, you got the wrong verse typed in here. Genesis 32, 7 and 11. I hope you don't have too many wrong, I tell you that. Chris? You got a long one. Numbers 16, 26 through 33.
Say that again.
Yeah. Numbers 13, 26 through 33. Amy, 1 Samuel 15, 24. Jeff? That doesn't sound right. Psalm 155. Is that right? Psalm 155, 3 through 6. That might be wrong. Mr. Morrison, 2 Chronicles 21 through 3. Mike? Mark 4, 37 through 41. John, Galatians 2, 12. Ruth. Ruth, Psalm 23, 4. Now, keep, so, you know what? Whoever got 1 Samuel, keep your Bible open. Ruth, you can keep your Bible open. And let me get a couple more out there. Eric, I want you to read Proverbs. Well, I'll quote that one. Psalm 119, verse 120, Eric. And I guess I'll stop there for now. I got a lot more than that. There's a lot of references in this Bible study right here. Yeah, boy. So, but we might look at some of them. 2 weeks ago, last week we had the sign man here. How many of you got signs? Man, wasn't that guy a preaching machine? Man, I loved it. And his testimony was just terrific. What? I got no, Mark 4, 37 through 41.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was going to be this complicated. One, two, three, Psalm 155. That's what I thought. That's why I said that don't sound right. I don't know what yours is, Jeff. I'll have to look, but I don't have time to look right now. I'll give you another one here. You're lucked out on that one. You better not have more than two or three wrong. The first one I recognized was wrong, and I said, that's not Psalm 37. That's Genesis. That's Genesis 32. Anyway, whatever, Jeff. You get a bye tonight. Next time we'll get you. And then we might get to you guys over there. So, all right. A couple weeks ago, last week, we had the sign guy. How many of you bought signs put on your cars? Boy, I did. I think they're just wonderful. And and then, but you know, the whole back of my car is plastic. The whole thing. So I had to put them on the side because they won't stick. I think about taking my tailgate apart and putting a piece of metal on the inside of it, and then it'll stick to it. It's just, it might work. I think it would. So I could do that. But anyway, I had to put them on the side because my whole car's plastic on the other thing. Gets hit with anything, and get creamed. So tonight I want to talk about, 2 weeks ago then, was joy. And now tonight I want to talk about fear. Now I want, so the verses that I passed out, they are individuals that were in the Bible who experienced fear. And it also shows you what they did or how they responded sometimes to that fear. But I want you to listen. Now, you guys are going to have to pick up because you're kind of spread out here. So, Faith, I want you to read Genesis 32, 7 and 11.
Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children.
Now, listen, Jacob feared Esau. Why did Jacob fear Esau? Because of what he had done. He was afraid of the consequences, but I'll give him credit. He went to the right place. He went to the Lord. Go ahead, Chris.
Numbers 13, 26 through 33. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
Now, who was afraid? The 10 spies. Then they conversed with the rest of the congregation. Now they're all afraid. And what are they afraid of? Well, you say they're afraid of the giants and everything else. You know, that's true. But I'm going to tell you what it seems like to me they're afraid of. They're afraid to take their possession. God said, I'm going to give you that land. They said, we're not able. They were even afraid to trust the Lord for God to keep his words. Amy, go ahead.
1 Samuel 15:24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.
Okay, who did he fear? He feared the people. The proverb says, the fear of man does what? Bringeth a snare. Okay, Mr. Chris, go ahead. Psalm, whatever. No, you don't. Never mind
Second
that one.
Second Chronicles chapter.
Yeah, you got 20. Second Chronicles, yeah.
It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be in, can't pronounce that, Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah.
Now Jehoshaphat was afraid, but he prayed for deliverance from his enemies. I'll give him credit. He went to the right place. Who else is afraid? Go ahead, Mike.
And there arose a great storm of the wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Who was afraid there? The disciples were afraid. Maybe they were a little bit of unsure about Jesus, too, when he said, peace be still, and that calmed. So it's like the disciples are afraid, Jacob is afraid, the 10 spies are afraid, David was fearful of his enemies, Jehoshaphat's afraid, the disciples are afraid of the storm. I think this is the wrong reference to Galatians 2:12. Yes, John.
For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision.
Now, you probably might not know the context of that, but I'll tell you who's afraid there. Peter. And Peter was afraid of the Jews. He would have ate with Gentiles before, but now with the Jews around, well, now we're not going to do that. He didn't want to do that. Now, there are certain things, experiences in life that people fear. Some people fear the weather. And if you're crazy enough to live where the hurricanes are coming up through all the time, you know, maybe you ought to think about moving. But I can see that. Now we live in a time when people are very much afraid of war. And Rocket Man, as Trump calls him, I just get the biggest kick out of that. I think it lasts me up. Little Rocket Man, he changed him to Little Rocket Man, too. But there's a good chance that we could end up in war. People fear war. And people fear financial crisis. When the stock market crashed in 1929, people committed suicide. They were jumping out of buildings. They saw their life just crashing before them. And so they jumped out because of a financial crisis. And then people fear the future. and people fear the unknown, and people fear death. Ruth, would you read your verse, please?
Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
So some people fear death, but you don't have to fear death. There's, you know, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. I won't be afraid. But then people fear getting hurt. So we read where Saul feared people. I will add this, though. Not all fear, if it's right, is not all bad, I guess I might say. But an awful lot of fear is bad. The psalmist said, a proverb says in 29, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. In Matthew 22, it talks about those that were afraid of the master. And we know from Hebrews 13:5-6, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is our master. Now, should we fear the consequences of sin? Did somebody have Psalm 119:120? Go ahead, Eric. Well, people ought to be afraid of the judgments of God. I mean, if you've read Revelation, they're pretty serious. Now, but if you live right and you're living a godly, holy, righteous life, you don't need to be afraid of the Lord. Now, I remember talking to Mark Pelletier one day. He says, I am afraid what God might do to me if I don't tithe. I tithe consistently all the time, Pastor. Well, maybe that's something worth being fearful over. But if you live right, there's no need to be afraid of God. We are to fear the Lord in a reverential way. But look here, the rest of us, we're still in Psalm 46. I want you to go back there. Look at verse 2 and 3. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. I'm in this wrong one. Hang on. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be touched through the mountains shake, with the swelling thereof, we are not going to fear. What? Why do people fear? They miss verse 1. God is our refuge. They don't remember that God is their refuge. He's the place they run to, and he's our strength, and he's a very pleasant help in trouble. You notice what it said in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Listen, God's still at work. And at the end of the verse, in verse 11 again, he says, God is our refuge. You got to realize that God is our refuge. Now, because of the lack of time and all the references I've had so far, the Bible does teach us some things that we should fear. A good, healthy fear of the Lord. A good, healthy fear of his judgments. Now, what is America's number one problem?
Sin.
That's a good one. That is a problem. What's beyond, I can't say above that because that is the problem. But something else worse, or I wouldn't say worse, but equal to. They don't fear God. You know what the problem in the White House is with most of the politicians? No fear of the Lord. You know what the problem is in Albany? No fear of the Lord. You know what the general problem in America is? There's no fear of the Lord. That's a problem. Now, then that is our problem. Now, that's what's wrong. We might read a verse to them. It says, you know, don't fear those that can just kill you, but fear those that can, you know, you end up in hell. Oh, preacher, that'll never happen. They don't fear God. I think it's going to happen. I think it's exactly what's going to happen. Hell's not real. Hell's not true. I was witnessing to a guy the other day. He said, I'm in hell right now. I've heard that several times. But he said, this is hell. I said, this isn't hell. You're not in hell. But they don't fear God. They don't think God will ever allow that to happen. Now, I've known a few men who were just awful, fearful over everything. What about tomorrow? What about the next day? What's going to happen? Listen, you cannot live with fear. There are biblical consequences to fear. I skipped a bunch of references, but let me give a few more out. Who had Mark 4? Did somebody already read Mark 4? Who was that? Mike, that was you, wasn't it? Read it again, 35-41. Now, you know what? We don't have time. Never mind. Jesus calmed the storm. We got too many here. No peace, no calm, no sleep. People who have fear, there's no peace about them. There's no calmness to them. They can't sleep. Now, whoever's got that, Bob, you want to read for us? All right, 1 John 4:18-19. Belva, Luke 21:26. Melissa, Read 29:25 of Proverbs, if you would, please. Go ahead, Bob. 4. 18 and 19. Now, here's some of the biblical consequences of fear. No peace, no calm, no sleep, and torments. Now, what kind of torments do you think those are? Those are mental torments. You're mentally, you're very disturbed. Whoever's got Luke 21:26. Go ahead, Belva.
Failing them for fear and for knocking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
What we got is people like they're fainting. They're just fearful. And Melissa, read us for us Proverbs 29:25 again. So what do we have there? We have a snare. Do you know what a snare is? A snare is like a trap. So when people are afraid of whatever, they're in a snare. They're like trapped. You put off fear and you put on faith. Now I want us all to turn to Psalm 27 verses 1 through 4. I should have broke this up into about 3 Bible studies. I apologize. I didn't think it'd take us this long. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now look what he says. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know what I wrote above that psalm one day in my Bible? Me and God. You see the times of verse 1? My, I. Me and God. I'm not going to fear. Why am I not going to fear? I'm going to trust in the Lord. Psalm 56:4 says, in God I will praise his word, in God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The fear of a man bringeth a snare. We've already read that. Faith and trust in biblical wisdom and in biblical knowledge is what you replace fear with. That's what the things you replace it with. What do you do with your fear? You take it to the Lord. Now, somebody over here read 2 Chronicles, or maybe Chris did, 2 Chronicles 20, verses 3 and 4. Jehoshaphat took his fear to the Lord. If you continue now, look at Psalm 27 again, in verse 8. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy faith, Lord, will I seek. There's those personal pronouns again. They're in verse 9. All the way down, this is quite a verse 8, verse 9, there's quite a psalm. So you got to trust God. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And then let's everybody also look at this passage, 2 Timothy 1:7. I think many of you probably can quote this verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear doesn't come from the Lord. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. You shouldn't be afraid all the time. Say, well, we might go to war. Well, we might. It could happen. You say, well, that's scary. It's scary. But we shouldn't be afraid. We trust God. We believe God. He is our place of refuge. He is our high tower. He is our battle shield. And he is all that we really need. Let's look at a couple more and then I got to shut up. Isaiah 41:10. I think people's biggest problem and fear is they just can't, for whatever reason, trust the Lord. Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for for I am thy God. That's that personal relationship again. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, God gives us some promises. There's one right there. Go down to verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, and I will help thee. The next verse, fear not, thou worm Jacob and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Have you ever prayed this prayer, Lord, help me? I've prayed that prayer countless times because I need his help. But he says he'll help us. Here's a couple more you can write down. Psalm 46, rather, verses 1 through 11. There's some great promises in there. Read that psalm again. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Great promises. He is our security. He gives assurance. He is our refuge. But God does not give us fear. He doesn't do that. You don't need to fear in fearful days. There's a lot of people that think, you know, this is it, man. This is the end. Well, by the grace of God, it might be the end. Praise the Lord. By that, I mean he might actually come and get us out of here. I don't have a problem with that. But don't be afraid. Some of you probably have fear. Can I encourage you? Take it to the Lord. Find a place to get alone with God, to fall down on your knees and cry out to God and say, God, I need help, and I need help right here. Boom, 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 boom. And say, Lord, you're the only place, one that can really help me. And you go to the Lord and you ask for help. Lord, we kind of didn't do that study any justice. We went way too fast through all those passages. But Lord, I know we're living a day of fearfulness. There might be somebody here tonight that has fear. Let me ask you to encourage them tonight, and let me ask you to give them comfort. They can trust you. They can rely on you. They can be still and know that thou art God. They can say that, you know what, God is going to be my refuge. He's going to be my high tower. He's going to be the place where I can run to for help. And that you would remind us all to fall down before on our faces once in a while before you and cry out and say, Lord, help us. There does need to be a good dose of the fear of the Lord, a good reverence for the things of the Lord in our nation and in our churches all over. But Lord, I pray that we would not be fearful people, despite we watch the news, we listen to the news, or read the news or whatever. You're still on the throne. You're still in control. Help us to remember that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been reading a missionary letter about the Kesslers wanting to adopt this little baby, and they've done it. Now, I'll give this picture to my wife, and she can put it someplace. But there's a picture of the Kesslers, and they're all very, very fair-skinned, and the little boy that's not so fair-skinned, okay, he's the one that they adopted. And he's a cute little guy. But anyway, it says, God bless you for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of anything and everything that we can do for his glory. As one missionary said, doing what we can, while we can, where we can. It is an awesome privilege to be a child of God and be serving him. Some of you know that we were in the States in July and August for an occasion to get together with family in our home church in order for them to meet our new son, and his name is Christopher Daniel. We had a great time with everybody, and it was a blessing informing them all of how God works things out and did unique things in order for us to adopt him. Also, while home, we had the opportunity to visit one new church, and they have decided to support the work here in Bulgaria. God bless you all at Lake Howard Baptist Church in Georgia. Touchdown in Bulgaria since landing on August 9th, it has hit the ground running to such a degree that the first Sunday back on the 13th, thankfully, after evening services, I got a short case of vertigo, which is no fun. Things are continuing as usual in the three churches where they have. One of the brethren from Karnobat has returned to Bulgaria and is planning on helping me more with the things of this ministry, as well as the John and Romans canvassing effort, which we are ramping up, that is spending more days of the week in this effort. There is a possibility of some property coming up for sale very soon, so please pray with us about this. On a sad note, a sister in Christ from Karnobat, he mentions her name here, passed away on September the 1st. She was only 21 years old. And though sad, we still rejoice that now she is with the Lord in heaven. Brothers and sisters, thank you and God bless you, the Kessler family. So if you want to see that picture of the little guy, it's right there. And I haven't read one from Brother Wyatt in a while, so let me read one from Brother George. He says, praise the Lord, we are back in South Africa, having accomplished what we needed to do in the States. I am covered or soon will be covered by Medicare. That does not do me any good here, as we have been told that Medicare does not pay overseas accounts. But we will be covered when we are in the States. With escalating medical costs, that is a great benefit. We enjoyed visiting a few churches in the States and appreciate them for taking good care of us. We were also able to visit our home church and spend some precious time with our pastor and people. Since we arrived back in South Africa, we have enjoyed several faithful services, seen souls saved, and Christians making decisions for the glory of the Lord. Please pray for Masuni and Annie, who have had a hard time financially recently. God has brought them to our city for some care, rest, instruction, encouragement. Please pray for some others. They are having a difficult time. We are not sure of all the story, but we helped with her surgery a year ago. The surgery did not go well. The doctor said that she had cancer. Brother James believed God would do something special for her, so he took her to the doctors in Kenya. Apparently, God has worked, and she is now cancer-free, but not debt-free. The debt is sizable, and they will not release her until the medical bills are paid. Wouldn't that make more medical bills add up? How does that make sense? I never heard of such a thing. My response to them was that when God performs a miracle, he also pays the debt. Please pray for them that God will intervene and give them the answers for paying for these bills. The works, and he has three of them here. I can't say the names, but we are pleased with many good things that God has done in our absence. Please pray earnestly for Emily Mafia, Stephen's wife. She is having some serious medical issues. One seems to be that her body is rejecting some of the blood that she was given by transfusion. We are working with a natural doctor to see if we can help with these issues. We once again want to thank you for your love, your prayers, and your support. We love and appreciate it. God bless you. Well, I'll stop there because that's usually the time I stop reading missionary letters.